Kind of fictitious idea that, you know, back in the Bible days, these men of God, these apostles, prophets, yeah, they went through stuff, but man, they always knew what was going on. They always had it figured out, and you know, they just had the power of God and just kind of bowled over through everything. But I'll tell you what, the apostles, prophets, whoever you are, if you've ever done anything for God, you have certain situations that you go through, and you don't have it all figured out. And we see this in the Apostle Paul, where he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Here is the same passage in the Living Bible. It says, "But this precious treasure, this light and power that now shine within us, is held in a perishable container, that is, our weak bodies. Everyone can see that the glorious power within must be from God and is not our own. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We're perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. We're hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going." Praise God. This is the picture, again, of the great Apostle Paul. He went through stuff. I love it. He says, "We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going." And that's really what I want to minister on this morning. Get back up. All right? I don't care what you're going through. It's common to man. And people better than us, further along than us spiritually, have gone through the same things. You know, when you got born again, two things happened to you. Number one, God put a treasure in your earthen vessel. Number two, Satan put a target on your earthen vessel. And anybody who's called upon the name of the Lord and coming into the kingdom of God realizes you are now in a good fight of faith. And it's a fight that you have. There is an enemy, an adversary, who goes about as a roaring lion. Absolutely. And at various times, we get knocked down. We experience some things. You know, the Apostle Paul, again, here, he says it straight. Verse 8, "We're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed." And this is really powerful. "We're perplexed, but not in despair." That's huge. Have you ever been perplexed? We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. I've been perplexed, and I've gotten into despair and depression and stayed down for a while. The Apostle Paul could get perplexed, or I like how the Message Bible says it, "We're perplexed because we don't know why things are happening as they do." Isn't that why you're perplexed? "According to my calculations, this shouldn't be happening. I'm perplexed right now." Is it possible, though, to get perplexed while you're doing the work of God or whatever, you know, God's calling you to do, and not get into despair? Is it possible to be perplexed and still get back up again? Yeah, you can. Why do bad things happen to good people? There's perplexing things that happen. And I don't have the answer right now, but I don't have to get in despair. I can get back up again. Things that happen to me, to you, different things in life. But the bottom line is, you can get back up. No matter what it is, no matter what the world throws at you, you can get back up. And in the natural, the same way if you get knocked down physically, it takes some effort to get back up again. Same thing spiritually. When you're knocked down with perplexity, there's an effort to get back up again, spiritually, so to speak. Okay? So we're going to look at getting back up, all right, after getting knocked down. First thing, area we want to look at in terms of getting back up is the fact that we have to look up and fill up. All right? I'm down. I'm in the down position. But what does the scripture say? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. There is an upward look. We're talking about, oh, I'm perplexed. I'm down. I don't get it. Well, there's some things I can do. I can look up. I know one thing. In my perplexity, I still need to set my mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Isn't that the temptation of perplexity, is to get your mind going down? No, even in the midst of perplexity, I'm looking up. I'm looking up. I'm looking past the perplexity, and I'm looking up to God. Not only do you look up, but you look up and you fill up. Because a lot of times when you're down, there's stuff going on. You know, I think of it like this. You know, if you're really thirsty and you got a great big tall glass and there's just a little bit of water at the bottom, you know, you wouldn't say, oh, I'm so thirsty, but I've got this air problem. I've got all this air in the glass and I can't get it out. Oh, I'm so thirsty. No, you wouldn't think of it. You just pour more water in it and the water would just push the air out. All right? This is called displacement theology. Not replacement theology. This has nothing to do with Israel and the church. But this is displacement theology. All right? This is where the water, you know, the water going into that cup pushes the air out. And you blow on both, you no longer have an air problem. And so many times that's what happens in our life. We think, oh, I've got this fear problem. I've got this hatred problem. I got this bitterness. I got this lust problem. I got this, well, really, it's really the air of fear and hatred and the air of lust. And we really have a water problem. The water of the word that we need to get filled up and displace that stuff, push it out. We see this all throughout the word of God. Galatians chapter 5, 16 puts it this way. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I got a flesh problem. No, you got a spirit problem. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is a filling up. There is a going after. You're down, you're perplexed, and you got stuff getting filled up with the Word, filled up with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, you're going to fill up with something, aren't you? You're either going to reach for that relief thing to fill up with, or you're going to reach for the Word, for the Spirit, for the things of God, looking up and getting filled up with the things of God, the things of the Spirit. Romans 8, 5 through 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds in the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You say, set their minds in the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I've got to, you know, in my mind, I'm constantly thinking death or death-related things. We need to just start thinking Spirit, Spirit-related things. And I love what it says. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you begin to get spiritually minded, life and peace happens. You'll get filled up with life and peace. There's a displacement theology. You know what I'm saying is you're going to have to fill the cup up. In other words, you're down there. A lot of times there's a void in you that just needs to get filled. You don't have to figure anything out. You just need to get filled up with the Word of God, filled up with the Spirit of God. I've found in my life that one of Satan's greatest devices has been my very own cleverness. Oh, he'll come and he will tempt you and pull you off into a little area of spiritual pride. I know I'm not supposed to lean to my own understanding, but I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm a pretty clever guy. He'll get in your mind and you lean to your own understanding and your wits and your knowledge and the exhaustive understanding of the vapor of life you've experienced so far. And he will try to draw you off into leaning on it and looking at it, you know, to where, you know, the to where you've got to figure it out. And that's the problem. That's the problem with being so clever. You have to figure your way out. And you can, because you're so clever. You know, it's subtle. You know, the enemy is subtle. But when you have to figure your way out, I'm down, I'm perplexed, I need stuff, I'm going to just look up. I'm not going to figure it out. I'm not going to figure it. I'm perplexed, but I'm not figuring. I'm not calculating. I'm looking up. All right? I'm looking up, and I'm filling up. You know, I got a picture in my mind when I was thinking about this. If you saw the old musical years and years ago called Singing in the Rain, there's a classic scene in there. Donald O'Connor does a song called Make 'em Laugh. And if you've seen it, he's just trying to make Gene Kelly, who he's playing opposite there, he's just trying to make him laugh. And one of the things that he's doing is he's kind of on the ground, and he tries to get up, and either his legs will get tangled up or he'll lose his balance. And there's a scene, I don't know if it must be for like 15 seconds, he's just trying to get up, and he keeps flopping down no matter how hard he tries to get up. And I just had that picture in my mind. That's the way we look when we try to get back up in our own cleverness. Have you noticed that? Well, yeah, I'm going to live for God, flat. Yes, God, off, flat. You know, you get that little burst of inspiration, but kind of losing your balance, and it's like you're trying to figure something out, and you're perplexed, or you're frustrated, and there's pressure on the mind. We're talking about getting back up. I'll tell you, first things first, you got to look up and fill up. In other words, I'm not trying to figure anything out here. I'm just saying, God, I need your help. I want to get back up again. See, a person who's perplexed can get back up without having to figure out the perplexity. A person who's really clever has to figure out the perplexity, then they'll get back up. There's a humbling of yourself here, isn't there? There's a humbling of yours. Can you be perplexed and not know why things happen and still get back up and not miss a stride and go on for God? Yeah, you can. You can. You absolutely can. But there's going to be a looking up. There's going to be a filling up. This is why conferences, retreats, things like that can be really powerful in your life. When you take a little time out from life and just get saturated under the Word of God, it gets you in that upward looking fill up position. You get spiritually minded. And you have life and peace. Not because you figured it out, but just because you got spiritually minded. And you began to think along the lines of God's promises, His Word. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." One of the first things I got to ask myself honestly, when I'm perplexed and empty and on the ground, I got to ask, is the Word dwelling in me richly right now? Or is there air in here that needs to get displaced with the Word? Before I delve into my spiritual victim complex, I'm going to ask myself, is the Word dwelling in me richly? Am I really looking up? Am I setting my mind on things above? Before I draw any big spiritual conclusions about God, I'm going to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to make sure that I am looking up. That Word is truly dwelling in me richly. That my mind, my heart, my focus is there. First things first. I'm going to look up, and I'm going to fill up. Then I'm going to come up. I'm going to come up. Hebrews chapter 4, we actually looked at this, kind of referenced the scripture earlier today. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I love that. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise God. You know the great thing about not being real clever when God delivers you from your cleverness is the fact that now, when you're no longer clever, You don't have to figure it out. You're just coming boldly to the throne of grace. Just, I love that. When do I come boldly to the throne? To find grace, to obtain mercy and find a grace to help in time of need. Wow. So I'm perplexed. What's my next step? My focus up, I'm going to come boldly to the throne of grace. What am I going to get there? Mercy and grace to help me. Very simple. No matter how complex my situation is, that mercy and grace can still help me in my time, even my situation. That mercy and grace can help me in my time of need. Isn't that awesome? That's me and you, may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's us. That's our situations. That's our times. In our perplexity, we want an answer, and God says, hey, come over here and get some grace and mercy. I can help you out here. We're talking about perplexing situations. Why are these things important? Because these are the kind of things that can get you down and keep you down for years with a chip on your shoulder. But this is the stuff the Apostle Paul dealt with regularly. He was perplexed, yet not in despair. He was able to get up and realize, praise God, well, whatever the thing is, I'm going to come boldly to the throne of grace. I love the way, you know, other things at that throne of grace that we see are powerful. 1 John 4:18 puts it this way. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Message puts it this way. There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. So at the throne of grace, you've got God who is love, mercy, grace to help. There is an absence of fear at the throne of grace. Another kind of a same principle, 2 Corinthians 3:17 puts it this way. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, where it is, there is liberty. New Living says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, he gives freedom. Ah, this is the awesome thing. So instead of trying to get free, I'm just going to go where freedom is. I'm going to go there. I'm not trying to figure anything out. This is not a perplexing thing. This is not a complicated thing. I'm just going to go to where he is. I'm going to go where that throne of grace is. I'm going to go there. I'm going to obtain mercy. I'm going to find grace to help. I'm going to go where the freedom is. I'm going to go where the grace to help is. I'll tell you, this has set me free. Especially in the culture we live in, where you're trying to find the book, read the book, find the tape. That little key. Well, I found the key. It's the throne of grace. And it's available to every believer. No matter what your situation is, I can tell you one thing about your situation. There is mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. There's what you need right there at the throne of grace. I'm not trying to figure it out. Praise God, I'm going there. Praise God. And what are we talking about here again? We're not talking about, you know, a dumbing down, but we are talking about truly acknowledging him in all our ways, casting our cares on him, turning those anxious thoughts into prayer requests. This is the way Jesus put it. Same paradigm. Matthew 11, he says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, or the clever, and have revealed them to babes. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you the answer to that perplexing question. No, he said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What do you do when you're over here? You're knocked down, perplexed, not knowing why, God. You go to the throne of grace. You come unto Jesus, and you find rest for your souls. There's something you need more than the answer to your question, and that is the rest of God, the peace of God. If you're going to enjoy a peace that passes your understanding, that peace is going to be greater than your understanding. Your understanding has to wait. Peace comes first. The grace comes first. There is not only a looking up and filling up, but there is a coming up in prayer where you begin to declare and cast your cares over on Him. Praise God, knowing that He cares for you. And so, praise God, that's where it is. I mean, to me, that was one of the things that, I'll tell you what. For me, it's like cheating when I think of that. Praise God. What am I going to do next? I know exactly what I'm going to do next. I'm going to go to the throne of grace. I'm going to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It is the most wonderful, freeing revelation and truth that'll get you out of your jams spiritually and help you to get back up again in the face of the most perplexing situations. And again, I'm talking from experience here. There is nothing more complicated on the planet than the politics of your own spiritual victim complex. Needing to understand all the whys of all your hurts so that you're not hurt that way again. No way. No way. You never will. What you need to do is go before the presence of God, the throne of grace, where perfect love casts out all fear, including the fear of getting hurt again, and being safe in His presence. Because we think we stay here in these little perplexing merry-go-rounds, thinking that we're going to find the answer. You know, the thousandth time is going to be a charm, working it through in your head. No. No, I'm going to go before the throne of grace. Oh, and I'll tell you what, that is the safest place in the world anyway. Right? I mean, it's a much lighter yoke coming unto Jesus. It's a much lighter yoke just getting immersed in the presence of God's love than it is to have to try to figure out how to control and manipulate people so they don't hurt you again. That's not the answer. Perplexity, leaning to our own understanding, pulls us downward. When we begin to say, no, my help is in Him. My help is in the Lord. I'm going to come before the throne of grace. I'm going to come unto Jesus, and I'm going to find rest for my soul. Praise God. And it's there. And it's not the answer to the question. It's just the fact that God is God, and He's there. And you experience His peace and His grace. And I'll tell you what, that's at the end of the day, that's really what matters. You know, the Bible says we know in part. But one day we will know as we're known. Today is not that day. We only know in part. There's some things that we are not going to have fullness of understanding. We're going to be perplexed about some things. But the bottom line is, are we still looking up? Are we still trusting Him? Are we still coming unto Him, even when we don't know why? And saying, okay, Lord, I don't know why, but I know one thing. I know that there's mercy and there's grace to help me in my time of need. Praise God. And it's in that mercy and in that grace that you get back up again. Praise God. Begin to live for God again and again and again. I love it. And this is what John 8:31 puts it this way. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here again, you kind of see that pathway. You know, you're over here, perplexity down, and Hebrews says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden. And Jesus here and said, He said, abide in my word. If my words, you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. You see that there is a path and a pattern when we begin to look to God, it brings us to that place of freedom. In other words, you know, this kind of freedom, it's not a zap experience. All right? This kind of freedom is a destination that you go to on purpose. No matter what, you go to that throne of grace, you obtain mercy, find grace to help in a time of need. And I'll tell you what, just knowing that, praise God, takes the spiritual pressure off you. We put such pressure on ourselves to have to be free now. Are you free? Are you free? Are you free? Are you free? I'm abiding in the word. I'm holding on to my confession of faith. I'm coming boldly to the throne. How do you feel? How do you feel? I'm walking by faith, not how I feel. I'm walking by faith, not by sight. I'm walking by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Praise God. Lord, I come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And yeah, sometimes when you're looking, it's not instant. And as you're on your way, and you're going to that destination of freedom, You know, there will be a temptation to ask yourself, are we there yet? You know, because you're walking it out. You're taking it step by step. But when you begin to say, yes, Lord, I am walking it. I'm not giving up. I'm going to continue in your word, knowing that as I continue in your word, I'll know the truth. The truth will make me free. Praise God. So the final thing is then, as we begin to look up, fill up, come up to him in prayer, we got to finally begin to speak up. All right? This is where your faith is released. 1 Peter 5:8 says, we've got an adversary, an enemy. He will speak up. All right? Whether you speak up or not, somebody's going to speak up. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know, there is an adversary. He does come after us. But the fact of the matter is, we have what we need to be able to resist. We have the ability. And the Bible says, I love it, it says, after you've suffered a while, verse 10. Not forever. It can seem like forever. After you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You're over here, and he goes about with as a roaring lion, and he is roaring the perplexity. Why did this happen? Why? What's the answer? Answer, answer. I want the answer. Man, and that's where you're going to have to begin to resist. Say, no, you're not my Lord. I'm not accountable to you. I resist you. I resist the lies. I resist the accusations. Father, I'm going after you. You know, there's a great example that we have of this in the Old Testament when it came to David and Goliath. You hear, before the fight ever happens, Goliath roars and David roars back. The exchange looks like this. And so the Philistine, this is Goliath, said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Hasn't thrown a rock yet, but his faith is there. Can't you see it? His faith is there. Satan roars, and he roars back. He resists those roars with the words of God and the words of faith. Same with you. Same thing. And you got to realize that is going to be part of it. You're fighting a good fight of faith. You're laboring to enter into his rest as you cease from your own works, your own math, leaning to your own understanding. And you're looking unto Jesus, pressing into him, praise God, coming into that throne of grace. You know, when we say, well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I'm a new creation, I've got the Holy Ghost in me, have you found all those positional truths? Don't just zap you immediately. It takes time as you begin to learn and get revelation of those things. The Apostle Paul prayed that you would get a spirit of revelation of the hope of your calling in Christ, the glory of the riches of inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward you as a believer. I'm telling you what, those truths dawned in my spirit in January of 1986, almost 30 years ago. And incrementally, the reality and the revelation of those things is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm just saying, man, you are beginning to hold on to those truths of who you are in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. My God does meet all my needs according to his riches and glory, beginning by the promises of God to push back those lies of the enemy. But we have a part to play, don't we? If Satan roars three times and you only swing the sword twice, if he roars, you're a jerk. You go, no, I'm a new creation. You're a jerk. I'm a child of God. You're a jerk. I'm a jerk. No. What does the scripture says? For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the spirit. Those words are sowing to the Spirit. You'll have the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary while doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we don't lose heart. You'll see there's a season of time there, don't you? And you see over here that there's also that after you suffered a while, that's that seasonal stuff. He'll perfect, establish, and strengthen. There's seasonal stuff. It's not just zaps. Very important for charismatic churches to understand that. These aren't just zaps. And then we think, why is it? I'm perplexed because I'm just not in ecstasy freedom. I'm a charismatic. Yeah, you're a born-again Christian with the Word of God, and you're growing up spiritually, and you have to continue in the Word. And as you continue in the Word, you'll get a revelation of the truth, and that truth will make you free as you begin to walk in it. It's not just a book of positional truths in Christ. You're going to be walking in it in the face of your roars, in the face that are coming against your mind. That's when you're going to begin to walk it out step by step and day by day, and you get good at coming to the throne of grace. You get good at coming into His presence. Before you get back up, you are going to look up, and you're going to fill up on the Word of God. You're going to come up in prayer, and that's where you say, Father, I cast this care over on You because You care for me. Praise God. It's perplexing. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That means I don't have to figure it out. I can just come for just grace and mercy to help me in my time of need. And yeah, the enemy will intimidate you as, you know, being simple and wimpy and not very intelligent, and you say, yeah, praise God. You know, you're born with a PhD in the flesh in your hand. It takes a spiritual walk with God to dumb down your own understanding and by every word living your life according to the Word of God. Our flesh cleaves to the dust. And God, oh, praise God, He sets you free. Because then you got to speak up. Praise God, you got to speak up and declare what God has done for you, in you, by the Word of God, by the blood of the Lamb, resisting those roars with the Word of God. Song that came out several years back, just called Get Up. He says, we lose our way, we get back up again. It's never too late to get back up again. One day you will shine again. You may be knocked down, but not out forever. Lose our way, get back up again. So get up, get up. You're going to shine again. It's never too late to get back up again. You may be knocked down, but not out forever. You may be knocked down, but not out forever. You've rolled out at the dawning of the day, heart racing as you made your little getaway. Feels like you've been running all your life, but why, oh why? So you've pulled away from the love that would have been there, and you start believing your situation's unfair. But there's always scars when you fall back far. This is love calling out to the broken. This is love calling, get back up again. Isn't that what perplexity does? Ultimately, it makes us question the love of God, in the character of God, in the goodness of God. And all the time the answer is the throne of God where there's mercy and grace to help. And the whole purpose behind the enemy's perplexity is to keep you from that throne room. And when you can see through it, see through his perplexities, and you just go, he'll say, you're dumb, you're simple, yeah, here I go. Praise God, hallelujah. All right, don't know any more than I did before, but I know where I am. Father, I need you. Lord, help me. You run to the cry of my temptation. You run to the cry of my heart when I'm tempted. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Father, I'm just going to stay here and stay here and stay here. I love that story of Mary and Martha. You know where Martha gets mad because her sister Mary isn't helping her with all the stuff of the day, and Mary's just sitting at Jesus' feet, and Jesus said, you know, she's chosen the one thing and it will not be taken away from her. In a lot of the chaos and perplexity, you just choose that one thing, that one thing. I'm not here because I've figured my way through here. No. Freedom is not a place that you figure out how to get to. It's a place you just go by faith in the throne and the mercy and the grace of God. Freedom isn't something that I'm trying to get. It's a place I'm going to. Oh, I'll tell you what. When you see it, it is so simple. It is so simple. It doesn't even tempt any spirituality contests or complex or pride or anything. It's just simple. And I love that. No matter what it is, no matter what the situation is, the answer is the same. The mercy and grace will help you, even me, in my time of need, no matter what the situation is. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much that no matter what we're going through, we can get back up. We can be perplexed without getting into despair. We can be perplexed, and as a child, which we are, just come boldly into our Heavenly Father's throne of grace to receive the mercy and the grace that we need to help. Father, help us to know that no matter what the situation is, the answer is the same. It's you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. Apart from you, perplexity does turn into despair. But through you, oh, you can work all things together for the good. Through you, perplexity becomes a jumping off point of humbling ourselves under your mighty hand and experiencing the grace that you give to the humble, the mercy. Oh, just knowing that no matter what happens, God is with me. God is for me. No matter what anybody says, what anybody does, you love me. And nothing and no one can ever separate me from that love. You are my safe place. Lord, I stand here. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, you are my safe place. When I am perplexed, I will not be distracted by what I don't know, because there's freedom, there's mercy, there's grace to help. Where your Spirit is, there is liberty. As I set my mind on things above, that Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, makes me free from the law of sin and death. So I will look up, I'll fill up on the Word of God. I will let it dwell within me richly. Thank you, Father, that I can come boldly at any time, even when I need mercy, especially when I need mercy. I can come boldly and find grace to help, find rest for my soul. You're meek and lowly in heart. I learn of you. I learn your ways. Meekness of wisdom. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. Full of mercy and good fruit. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. Thank you for the safe place of the throne of grace. It's the answer to all my perplexity. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe: you love me. I receive that love now. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. If that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, we just say, welcome to the family.